Well, it's super to be with you this Sunday. I worked on that all week. Thank you for getting it. So glad to be in worship with you today. I'm Jim Sellers, Director of Traditional Worship. Delighted that we can share this time together. Today we'll be talking about family, your family to us. There's my second family. They are so dysfunctional. But we love each other sometimes. But we're glad that we're together as a family. Speaking of being family, if you want to join our faith family, you can start this afternoon at 4 o'clock with Starting Point. It's a monthly gathering with our pastors to learn more about what goes on here at Blaine and how to become a member and how to serve and be served. So if you're interested in that, you just show up over at the Family Life Center at 4 p.m. today and take part in this very casual gathering that we call Starting Point. If you're a guest with us this morning, a very special welcome to you. Thank you for your presence. It means a lot to us. We appreciate it. And we'd ask that you fill out one of those Connect cards that you'll find there in the pew, or if you're joining us online, it's on our homepage, blaineumc.org. Just fill it out so that we can stay connected to you. We appreciate you doing that when you join us. Thank you so much for that. In your bulletin on our website and on our social media, you'll see all the opportunities we have to meet and greet and eat and do all the things that we love. So we hope that you'll check that out and see what works for you and get involved here at Blaine Memorial. Today, we're honored to have with us Reverend Isaac Dusenberry and the Reverend Wilma Lambry leading us in worship. So I would invite you at this time to pause now, center your hearts and minds, and let our worship begin.
In this house, we serve the Lord.
This is our family of faith.
In this house, we bear one another's burdens.
This is our promise.
Amen.
Thank you.
We are blessed to have received a faith. We are blessed to pass on a faith. The faith is summarized well in the Apostles' Creed, which is found in number 881. Let us say it together now. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'm Will Malambry, one of your pastors, grateful to be here with you today, serving alongside Pastor Isaac Dusenberry. Thankful to welcome you who are in person and you who worship with us online to this service of worship on this important Sunday in the life of our faith family. Every Sunday is an important Sunday in the life of our faith family, and we're glad when we can gather. We're glad when we can turn together to the Lord, and I invite you to join me now then in praying the collect. Lord, on this day, we pray that your love would be known in all families. We pray for a deepening and strengthening of the bonds that hold family life together. As we hear of God's love for the church, so we give thanks for the gift of love in our own lives. Amen. Book of Joshua in the 24th chapter. Joshua said to the tribes of Israel, "Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. We pin our hope to you, gracious God. You are the God we trust. You are the God we have been blessed by. You are the God we seek to serve. Forgive us when we do not. Forgive us when we make gods of past times, objects, symbols of status. Forgive us when we give what belongs to you, our hearts, our minds, our souls, to that which is beneath you. Forgive us when we teach our children to do the same. Reorient us, Lord, to live in ways that serve you fully. Reorient us to live in ways that honor and bless you by honoring and blessing our families. We pray for families to love each other well, to make time for each other, not wait too late to speak love, to prioritize ways of connecting, to let what matters occupy us and to set aside what does not. Strengthen individual families so that the human family can be made stronger. Make us healthy through love so that we can love in healthy ways, ways that bring healing and peace to brokenness. We pray for a peaceful resolution to the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. We pray for humane treatment of minorities in China. We pray for an end to prejudice and bigotry across the world, including in our country. We pray for healing from health concerns and for those who are weary from caregiving and decision-making through this pandemic. We pray for all of us who have been drawn together by Jesus to live out the prayers that we offer to you and to live by the prayer that your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
be seated. Well, good morning, friends. Today I'll be reading from the sixth chapter of Galatians. This is verses 1 to 10. Let us prepare our hearts and minds now for God's word. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For those who are nothing think they are something. They deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Bear one another's burdens. When we talk about family values, that verse should be one of the first things that comes to mind. Bear one another's burdens. Families often have to address one another's burdens or address behavior that would burden the family. Sometimes love means initiating challenging conversations. I'm reminded of a particular episode of Family Matters, the show that featured the legendary Steve Urkel. One day, Steve Urkel's close friend Eddie reveals that he plans to cheat on an upcoming test. "Eddie," says Urkel, "cheating is like wearing your grandmother's underpants. Sure, it might cover your hiney, but if you make a habit of it, you've got a serious problem." Urkel always had a special way of saying things, but he was willing to initiate challenging conversations. He was willing to call his loved ones out when he saw burdensome behavior. Urkel did not want his family to become habituated in sin, much like Paul, the author of Galatians, did not want his church family to become habituated in sin. But rather than casting judgment or sowing discord, Paul sought to build his loved ones up. "My friends," he wrote, "if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness." In other words, if someone is trapped in sin, you should gently lead that person back to the right path, because you obey the law of Jesus when you offer each other a helping hand. At the end of today's scripture, Paul underscores that we are to work for the good of all, especially for those in our family of faith. If you're not sure what your family of faith is, then look around. Your Christian family is not only the people you share a last name and address with. Your Christian family is also those who are a part of your church, this church. And Paul teaches us to be in a particular kind of relationship with our family of faith, a relationship that seeks to bear one another's burdens, a relationship that requires work. Let us work for the good of all, he says, and especially for those of the family of faith. A strong, faithful, loving family is a family that works hard for one another. Likewise, a strong, faithful, loving church is a church that works hard for one another. Whatever you can say about your personal family, you should also be able to say about your church family, including that it's dysfunctional. And as a church that is not routinely bearing one another's burdens, a church that is not lifting one another up, a church that is not empowering one another to be the best versions of themselves, is a sadly compromised and complacent church. Your church is an extension of your family. If your family does not have a meaningful relationship or meaningful involvement with a local church, then your family is essentially marooned on an island. You've built an unnecessary wall around yourselves. You're cut off from the body of Christ. And without the routine support and guidance from your brothers and sisters in Christ, you've made life a lot harder than it needs to be. And you've let yourself become vulnerable, susceptible. Paul warns that a person without a family of faith is more susceptible to temptation, corruption, fleshly, carnal desires. But a person with a family of faith is a person who is also directly connected to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is present wherever two or more are gathered in Jesus' name. You reap whatever you sow, writes Paul. If you sow your own flesh, you'll reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. Think back on some of the hardships that you've experienced in life. Think back on your failures, your shortcomings. Think back on those tragedies, both the avoidable and the unavoidable. Think back on those tragedies we all experience. Think about your burdens, past and present. Now imagine having to deal with all of that without the prayers, the support, and love of a family of faith. Maybe you had to deal with such things without a family of faith. It should be inconceivable for us to imagine going through life apart from a church family, just as it is inconceivable for us to imagine going through life without our blood family. You see, in Paul's language, burdensome, this word burden, it also means weightiness. A burden is anything that weighs you down, that holds weight. Perhaps there are some burdens we can lift by ourselves, sure. But inevitably, we are presented with something so weighty, so heavy, so burdensome that we need help. We need help in order to lift it, to move it out of the way. And the church, the living, breathing body of Christ that is directed by the Holy Spirit, offers you the kind of family that can and will help you overcome any burden, any obstacle that stands in your way. You know, us pastors, we spend a lot of time trying to get you to care about other people, especially the poor and the needy. Jesus teaches us to be concerned about the welfare of others, especially those different from us, especially those who are less fortunate than us. And a big part of discipleship is that, mission, ministry, charity, anything that would help us to embrace the strangers in our midst. But Paul is reminding us today that we also have to behave in particular ways towards our close friends and family as well, that there's something that makes those relationships distinct. And burden bearing is that distinctive feature. Because burden-bearing often looks a lot like calling people out. Burden-bearing means keeping one another accountable. It's not just about helping each other when the going gets tough. It's also about initiating those challenging conversations. When you see someone backsliding, when you detect a transgression, as Paul puts it. Burden-bearing doesn't mean we judge one another. But rather, burden bearing means that we love one another enough to say, I see that there is something in your life preventing you from imitating Jesus to the full extent. And now, as a member of your faith family, I want to help you overcome this. That is burden bearing. You see, we can't detect transgressions in a stranger or outsider like we can a family member, an insider. We can bear the burdens of the sick and needy in our community, sure, but not quite like we can for those who routinely eat at the same table we do, those who routinely worship in the same place we do. So Paul seems to suggest that intimacy, intimately knowing someone and being a part of their everyday life, especially lends itself to burden bearing. We bear one another's burdens as a family of faith in a way that we could not if this room was full of strangers. It is important to remember that Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians out of frustration. He has detected transgressions in his church family. And now, in a spirit of gentleness, he is trying to restore his family members back to a Christ-centered way of living. So Paul reminds them that God, as the head of the family, wants them to be in a faithful relationship with him. And God gives people a place in God's family through forgiveness. And through God's merciful love, his family experiences that transformation we call grace. So as members of this family of faith, we should be striving to treat one another in a similar way. We commit ourselves to extending love, mercy, forgiveness, bearing one another's burdens. It's never about judgment. It's never a way of saying you need to look like this or act like this or be like this in order to go to this church. Burden bearing is always an extension of love, spirit-led, spirit-guided love. And as frustrated and annoyed as Paul is with this dysfunctional family of faith, he always leads by example, and he always sees his churches through the eyes of Christ-like love. Back when I was about 12 or 13 years old, I went on a trip with my youth group. And one of my friends managed to sneak a pack of Virginia Slims cigarettes from his mother. And when we felt like our youth leaders were distracted enough, my friend and I, we snuck off into a wooded area and proceeded to smoke those cigarettes, thinking we were cool and old enough to do so. And after lots of coughing and snickering, we left to rejoin our group. Well, one of the youth leaders emerged from behind a tree, and we knew immediately that we were busted. He had detected our transgression, probably the coughing and clouds of cigarette smoke. And he was the cool youth leader. This was the guy we looked up to. He was 20-something years old. He was a college student, funny, smart, considerate. And I'll never forget the look of disappointment on his face. I would have rather him be angry. I would have rather him screamed and yelled. But instead, he was disappointed. And that really stung. Give me the cigarettes, he said. We obeyed. We handed them over. Why did you do this? He asked. Why did you do this? And we just looked down at our feet in shame. And then he said, you know, my father was about 12 years old when he started smoking cigarettes. And at 49 years old, he passed away from lung cancer. And it was a sad, horrific death. And it makes me feel sad to think of something bad like that happening to good kids like you. And that's all he said. And he put his arm around us and led us back to where we needed to be. After a moment of awkward silence, I spoke up and said, you're not going to tell our parents about this, are you? And he said, of course I'm going to tell your parents, but not before I tell them how proud I am of you and not before I tell them that this mistake is not your defining moment. That's what burden bearing looks like in a family of faith. Honest, accountable, and done with a spirit of gentleness. We all transgress, and we all encounter burdens too heavy to lift by ourselves. But thanks be to God that we are given a family of faith to love us, help us, and to work for us for the good of all of us. So may we continue to not merely be a church, but be a church family. Let's pray. We ask you, Holy Father, to graciously have mercy on all of us in the whole wide world. Bring us together under your blessing, protection, and shield, and let there be neither discord nor division among us. Yes, graciously protect us, especially from that which would harm us or prevent our well-being and salvation, and that which would divide or confuse us or keep us from your holy word. Amen.
Today is the day that the United Methodist Church and many denominations celebrate as Scout Sunday. Last year, we moved Scout Sunday to the afternoon. It gave for a longer type of service and more opportunity for the Scouts to be involved, and we're doing the same today at 2 o'clock. And you are invited to come and participate here in the sanctuary, celebrate Scouting together. But I wanted to tell you a little bit more about our Scouting ministry here at Blaine in case you aren't able to come today. I'm glad to report to you that there are 59 young people and 35 adults involved between our Cubs, our troop, and our venturing crew scouting. Each of those levels of scouting are very active in their participation here locally and in the events and adventures they have. The Cub Scouts will have their Pinewood Derby next week. That's the fun adventure of preparing your cars and racing those against each other. And then next month, there'll be a family camping trip down at Huntington State Park. The troop is going camping and biking at Poinsett Park this month. They're going to be backpacking in the Congaree Forest next month, and then they're going to a challenge ropes course in April. There are three currently going Eagle projects and three more that are being planned, and those six young men will one day join the 60 Eagle Scouts that have been minted in the last 20 years. Our venturing crew went to Philmont Scout Ranch out in New Mexico this past summer, and their plans for another group from the troop to go to Philmont in 2023. A lot of good happening in their lives, and as a father of a scout, I can attest to how they are formed well, and then they go and serve well. I'm grateful that Blaine supports our scouting ministry, and thank you that part of what you do as a church family is help these young people to have the opportunity to grow in virtue and service and self-awareness and self-confidence. The Scout ministry is really strong. As you consider how you are part of ministries beyond just what serves you, that is one of many examples that you, in your giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure, are part of something bigger than yourself. I'm grateful for the ways that you give and invite the ushers to come and receive God's tithes so that you can add your offering.
Brother and sister around here, it's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory. In this family so dear, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Jesus, as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the King, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags earned to riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Yes, I'm part of the family of
God, at your creation, you said it is not good for us to be alone. We thank you for the gift of relationship.
For
for the blessings of friends and family, and we pray that we would have the wisdom and steadfastness to nurture all our relationships in good times and in bad. Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, receive now this benediction. Remember that family matters. All families have matters they have to deal with, and also family matters. It's important to be a part of a family, and all of you are called to God's family. So go in peace and serve the Lord in faithfulness, steadfastness, and kindness. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.